This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Arabs are going online. The numbers are still small compared to the U.S., but they're growing all the time. You've probably heard about Islamic extremists in cyberspace recruiting members and spreading hate, but many more Arabs online are doing what everyone else does, that is, inventing online as they go along. For our series on Arab media, NPR's Eric Weiner goes online in the Middle East.
Internet users in the Arab world face all kinds of challenges. Connections are difficult to get and often expensive. Some countries, Saudi Arabia and Syria, for instance, block websites deemed inappropriate, pornographic sites, but also those run by the Israeli government. Even the networking site Friendster.com is blocked in the United Arab Emirates. One site that is not blocked is Islam Online. It's one of the most popular in the Middle East, though you would never know it judging from its cramped, somewhat dingy offices in downtown Cairo. The women working here are all wearing hijab, the traditional Islamic headscarf. With a fluent click of the mouse, managing editor Dalia Yusuf calls up one of the site's more popular features, Live Fatwa.
Live Fatwa is hosting a live session with a mufti and specify a topic for from 1 to 2 hours, receiving the questions from the people and answering it on the spot.
Most of the questions are fairly routine, such as whether health insurance is halal or permitted under Islam. It is, in case you're curious. The site occasionally carries more controversial fatwas, such as one that condones suicide bombing against Israelis. But a U.S. official who tracks Islamic websites says that overall, Islam Online is moderate. There is, she says, much worse out there. Again, Islam Online's managing editor, Dalia Yusuf.
You cannot put all Islamic websites in the same basket. This is a real danger because this will make you lose the moderation.
Yusuf concedes that in the Arab world, the internet is in its infancy. In Egypt, only about 5% of the population has internet access. Still, more and more Egyptians and other Arabs are going online. Internet cafes like this one are everywhere in big cities like Cairo, though the term cafe is used loosely. It's just a few rows of computers in a basement. Arabs are using the internet to find marriage partners, read newspapers, and now write blogs. Here's a sample.
Yesterday, I entered a polling station for the very first time in my life. Little me left work early to go to vote.
This Egyptian started blogging only a few months ago. Like many Arab bloggers, he writes in English. After living in the U.S. for years, he says he feels more comfortable writing in English than Arabic. And by blogging in English, he's less likely to attract unwanted attention from Egypt's internet police. Still, he's taking no chances. He writes his blog under a pseudonym.
Okay, I want to start a website in English, and it is from Egypt. So I came up with my name. I am the big pharaoh. So I am known around the world by this name. I am BP, or Big Pharaoh.
Big Pharaoh blogs for the same reason that many Americans do. He had things to say, and until now, no way to say them. Recent posts include ruminations on everything from Egyptian politics to Saddam Hussein's underwear. Whatever comes to mind, which apparently is quite a lot.
I believe that in Egypt, democracy should come on a slower pace. For over 7,000, then why this awful indifference to the lives of the same Iraqis whom we pretended we cared about when we... But what about the daily massacres of Iraqis at the hand of other Muslims? Why aren't you guys opening your mouth? Why aren't you guys saying anything?
Big Pharaoh concedes that his audience is small, only a few hundred visitors each week, but he's not discouraged.
Look at the power of bloggers in the U.S. Look also at the power of bloggers in Iran. Look at the headache that they are causing to the mullahs there. This can have been in Egypt as well.
Arab bloggers, like those in the U.S., are tough to pin down. Some, like Big Pharaoh, stick to the worlds of politics and conflict. of which there is plenty in the Middle East. Others, though, veer into more personal matters.
Since I'm only blogging here, and I'm almost anonymous, I'll admit that I'd easily fall in love with Carly Fiorina, former CEO of HP. What a woman.
That's Mohammed from Cairo, as he's known on the internet. His blog is all over the map. His latest infatuation, the 10 pounds he can't seem to shed, the lousy movie he saw last night. Mohammed says his anonymity allows him to be completely uninhibited online.
So I write about it and I say, okay, I don't even care who's going to read it, because I just want to say that sometimes you end up talking to yourself, but this is you talking to yourself and people actually listening to you.
There's nothing frivolous about Mohammed's blog. In one post, he writes about his mixed feelings when a friend tries to fix him up with a veiled woman. On his blog, the personal and the political often converge. Here are a few recent postings.
If you want to live in Cairo, the only way to do it is by loving it. And you have to believe in God. Your life is hanging by a thread with every step you take, even inside your house. You don't know when it... Knock, knock, Egypt. Who's there? Political change. Unless you're the doorman, you're not hearing the knocking. No one is knocking hard enough, as far as I'm concerned. The only people who are... The spring in Egypt is the worst season of the year. Yesterday was just an example of the political Arab Spring. Innocent dead people murdered for no apparent reason whatsoever. Murderous bastards who are going straight to hell via the divine express lane.
Do you feel that by having this blog you have more of a voice in a way than the average Egyptian?
Yes, definitely. The thing is, voice to whom exactly? You can't really figure it out.
There's a feeling in the West, and especially in America, that technology can be liberating, that the internet in particular can be a tool that can lead to democracy. Do you believe that?
I believe that it is, to some extent, it is liberating. In no way does it lead to democracy. I definitely believe that.
There is, he says, a huge gap between what happens online and what happens on the Arab street, both the literal Arab street and the metaphorical one that has come to symbolize public sentiment in the Middle East. Until that gap narrows, Arab bloggers like Mohammed are likely to remain voices in the desert. Eric Weiner, NPR News.
And to find links to some of the blogs mentioned in this story, and for more on Eric's series, go to npr.org. Tomorrow, televangelists preaching Islam.